Thank you very much. This coming Wednesday, 60 years ago, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. We didn't expect it. We were blindsided by it. 3,000 people plus the injured lost their lives that day. And so this Wednesday, we pause to remember that. And incidentally, against that kind of background, a world that is at war right now, a world that is really in turmoil right now, wherever you look, you see a kind of a fractured, broken world in turmoil. And here we are going to light the candle of peace today. And that is by way of saying that if we expect the world to give us peace, and we need to work for worldly peace, but if we expect peace to happen out there before we can have it in here, it is not going to happen. I believe that we are in for a long struggle. Historically, it's been the case, but we're in for a long struggle in this world that we live in. But the good news is that we can have a peace that the world can't give us. It doesn't have us. We can have a peace that comes from God Himself that will live in us. And no matter if they call you into a room and say, we don't need you anymore. And no matter they say, well, you've got this disease or you've got this problem or that problem. And that kind of enters into our spiritual psyche. We can still, at a deep level in our lives, have a peace that passes understanding. It is true, ladies and gentlemen, that everyone is looking for happiness in one form or another. Some people look for happiness that they aren't going to find, and they look in the wrong places. But it's also equally true that without peace, there will never be any happiness. Because we can even settle most of the problems, but if we don't have peace in our hearts, I can tell you, life really just isn't worth living. But everyone's longing for this peace. And I think of the great book that was written by Dante entitled The Divine Comedy, one of the epic pieces of literature of all time, written in the 13th century. And in this book that he wrote over a period of the last half of his life, it is a story about an individual seeking peace. And he calls it the Divine Comedy because it has a happy ending, has a peaceful ending. But he has this individual who is restless and not at peace, anxious, searching everywhere, looking and seeking peace and not finding it. And finally, he decides to go to a monastery in southern Italy. And he makes his way there after dark, and he looks at that massive door outside, and he begins to pound and knock and beat on that door. No one comes. But he keeps knocking and pounding and beating, and finally someone comes and opens that massive door, and there is a senior monk, and he says to this Dante character, "What do you seek?" He said, "I seek peace. I want peace." And so the senior monk, he closes the door in his face, and he goes back, and Dante's character pounds on that door and beats on that door there in the night. And finally, the monk comes back and said, "Well, what do you really want?" He said, "I want peace. I'm seeking peace." And again, the door was closed. And the third time he came back and asked the same question and received the same answer. "I seek and I want peace." And in this book, he finally finds that peace. But everyone is looking for peace. Everyone is seeking peace. And this world can take away the peace that it gives, but there is a peace that we can have. But the good news about this longing for peace and seeking peace is it keeps us looking for God, we who do not know God. Our own restless hearts drive us to look for peace that ultimately cannot be found except in the heart of God Himself. But the good news is that longing and seeking of peace finally can bring us to the heart of God, where we can find peace. It was St. Augustine that you all have heard the expression from his life, where this well-educated man If he had PhDs, he would have had about five of them, and the Catholic Church lived on his theology the first 1,000 years of the Church's existence and Christendom's existence. But here's a young man who went everywhere. He tried it all. I'm from sensual pleasure to intellectual pursuits. He left no stone unturned. And yet, he couldn't find peace. But one day, he said a phrase that we all know. Oh God, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. He found that peace that every human heart longs to find. And I think of Martin Luther, the great reformer, the Protestant reformer. Here is a fellow whose dad was a miner and who was fortunate enough to be able to go to school and to theology and all that sort of thing. But inside he had a sense of guilt and shame, looking everywhere for peace. And he couldn't find it. And he too went to a monastery. He didn't find it there. He found even there a lot of conflict. But you know something? He became a professor who was teaching the Holy Scripture. And he had to delve into the underlying meaning of the Word of God. And finally got over into the book of Romans. And the book of Romans, as you know, is a book about the grace of God, the forgiveness of all, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And Martin Luther found that peace that he was seeking in this unmerited gift of God's Son. And you know something? In that peace that he found, he went out and he changed the world. That's what the peace of God in our hearts can do. That's what it did for Augustine. And how about old John Wesley, you know, the one who founded the Methodist Church, sitting in a little prayer meeting, 35 years old, a failure, depressed, anxious, and sitting there. You know, what he thought was, if I could just stay busy in this faith and not just accomplish this, that, and the other, that I'm going to find a place of peace, and he never did. But sitting there one night in a prayer meeting at Aldersgate in London, he said, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I really was forgiven. And the peace of God, the Holy Spirit touched him, and suddenly the peace of God came into his heart. And that young man, with that peace, got up from that place, and he went out and he changed the world. That's what happens when we find this peace that the world can't give, but that comes down from God, and we have it as we access that peace by faith and open our hearts to the living presence of God. But ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we are assailed. The world would try to rob us of this peace. And I think in the Old Testament, the 55th chapter of Psalms, written by David, and he's talking about how in his life at that time, here he is an older man now, and he's the greatest king that Israel had or ever had or ever will have. But he's talking about a time of rebellion and conspiracies, and the world is just falling apart. And it was so bad that he said, well, he must have been standing there looking out of his place of residence down from the temple itself, and he's watching doves take off and fly into the distance. And he said this lament, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away into the wilderness and I would be at rest. I'd be at peace. Have you ever been there where it's so bad and that it was being so assailed and assaulted by the craziness of this world? And man, if I could just get out of here, if I could just be at peace a little while. Well, that's where David was. He decided to take his turmoil to God himself. And so he talks about his emotions. He says, my heart's very anxious. He said, I'm overwhelmed. He said, I can't sleep. And my insides are tore up. Everything's inside out. And he had a long lament there. He said, what am I going to do here? He decided that he was going to pray. And you know something, when we seek a deeper peace with God, this kind of assault on our inward peace helps us to deepen our faith and the roots and the sources of the peace that God has. And so David, he cries out to God and he prays. And he ends that chapter by saying, here's his advice. Don't run away from the problem. You hang in there. And you can call out to God and he will hear you. And his final word is, cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. And as for me, I will trust in God. And that great peace came back into his heart again. And he's able to go out and then be the king of Israel. And to, by God's grace, to live with them during that time until he won that rebellion and restored Israel to a rightful place before God. That's what you do out of a heart of peace that God can give us. But if the enemy is successful in disturbing us and tearing us all to pieces, and unless we find a deeper place of peace with God, we are not going to change our lives or that kind of world. Jesus in the upper room, four chapters there, addressing his disciples and trying to prepare them for what was going to happen when they would go out into that world. The world, he said, was going to put him to death. The next day at noontime, he would be nailed to a cross, and he's talking to his disciples. He said, you're going to be mocked and you're going to be ridiculed just like I have been mocked and ridiculed. And some of you are going to be crucified. And I'm sending you into that troubled world in turmoil and agony, a violent world. I'm sending you out into that world. But he said, you know what? My peace I'm going to give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Interesting thing that the next morning, in the early morning before daylight, Jesus was in Gethsemane. He was sweating great drops of blood. He was crying out to God, is there another way? And finally he repeatedly said, but nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And in Gethsemane, he once again found that oneness of peace with God himself. And when he walked out of that garden, he walked out in dignity and serenity and calmness of spirit. And if you read those accounts of his trial and his death, at no point did he manifest any kind of degree of where he was not at peace. Peace, even for him, he found by crying out to the Father. Well, what is this peace Jesus talked about? My peace I give to you. What does he mean there? Well, first of all, he means he's giving himself. He's giving himself on the cross so that you can be at peace with God, so I can be at peace with you. I don't have to worry about where I am with God once I've opened my heart to God. The gift of the cross is the peace that Jesus offers us, forgiveness and acceptance and being loved by the sovereign God so that we can know who we are and what life is about and feel okay about ourselves. My sister Margaret, as you know, died three Christmases ago on Christmas Day. And when I left the candlelight service here that Christmas Eve and went to and spent most of the night with her, and then I talked with the nurse. She said, I think she's going to be okay. I went home, and I noticed when I got home, got a call. Your sister seems like she's passing away, so I went back. But I was there too late. She had already passed away. And the nurse said to me that as she was breathing those last breaths, she was repeating to herself, I hope God will forgive me. Had I been there, ladies and gentlemen, I would have said to her, Margaret, God has forgiven you 2,000 years ago on that cross. You don't have to worry about whether God will forgive you. It's already happened. And maybe it could help her to die in a deeper level of peace. And that's the value of the gift that God gives us. No matter what happens, you don't have to worry if God's going to kill you or zap you tomorrow morning. You can have liberty and peace that only Christ can give on that cross. And then the second part of that is you can be more at home with yourself and at peace with yourself. You can sense your worth. You can sense your significance in this world. You begin to get in touch with who you really are. The fact that you know you're loved, and in that kind of acceptance by God, you can accept yourself. And finally, we can be at peace with other people once we have the peace of God, once we have peace with ourselves. There was an old England tombstone in New England that had the epitaph that read this way, here lies Elizabeth Carruthers. Now she's at peace and so are others. But the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever noticed that in your life and in the life of other people, if you sense another person has that inward serenity and peace, they're easier to live with, aren't they? And if we have that sense of inward peace and calmness down deep somewhere in us, we are liberated to reach out to others in peace. and to acknowledge who they are before God and to love them and forgive them and just simply to be with them. When we have this kind of peace, we can cross that threshold. We understand more. We have more fun. We laugh more. We're optimistic, more hopeful. That kind of peace is what will touch the heart of another human being. Amen and amen. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion now. And what a wonderful time to do that on this second Sunday of Advent. We're going to stand and sing at this time our communion hymn of invitation.